Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We're always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. Find us in the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. And, you know, we're also, if you're using that smart speaker, that Amazon Echo, the Echo Dot, just ask Alexa to stream WCPV, and then we will pop on as well. So look forward to having you in tonight, 6:25. We go up until, and then Red Sox baseball, Red Sox and Rays from Fenway. Thought maybe there was going to be a rain delay. The tarp is off the field, though. We'll keep you posted if we hear anything. We'll give you the Red Sox lineups at about 6:20. Coming up today in the show, Tyler Donahue, who covers Penn State football for the Land of 10. He will join us at 6:10 to talk about Saquon Barkley going to the Giants. You can always get in also, 802-655-6672. You do so on the Town Fair Tire text line. I'll have to give the mistake of the day winner also, because we did not have... Arnie didn't get to it. And then someone, K-Man in Charlotte, says, Brady, you make power play way too difficult. Radio prizes are supposed to be easy to get. This must be your sick idea of torturing the audience. Shame on you. And Shane in Burlington says, another solid penalty kill, boys, because it's power play and we didn't get a winner. So, look, K-Man in Charlotte, I'm sorry. Fine. I made it true-false once and we didn't win. I made it true-false once and we didn't win. So maybe I'll make it really easy again next week. So Tyler Donahue, and now in about 6 minutes to talk about Saquon Barkley. On the Patriots real quick on the draft. It was a curious move to take Sony Michel. Sony Michel is not a bad player. I'm not saying that because he is a bad player. In fact, I think Sony Michel is a very good player. I think he's a dynamic running back who also adds value in the passing game. And I think he can be utilized by the Patriots, but it's a curious move. And to me, the move represents in some way a failure on the part of the Patriots front office. And the reason why is because you invested money and time in running backs already. You signed James White to a long-term extension last year and gave him good money. You signed Rex Burkhead to a multi-year deal this year and gave him real tangible dollars. You have Mike Gillisley on the roster, who last year you gave real tangible dollars to. You signed Jeremy Hill this year. You already have four running backs right now. Now you have a fifth. You know that all of these guys are not making the team. I would say, well, Michel is a guarantee. The money he makes, the pick you spend on him, he's a guarantee. Money he's making, I would say Burkhead and White are guarantees. Those three are guarantees. Gillisley and Hill, I don't know that either of them are on this team, but one of them definitely isn't. And it just seems to be a failure on the part of the front office in one of two ways. Either you failed in identifying talent in Mike Gillisley or Jeremy Hill, who neither one of which I think is guaranteed a roster spot, or you looked at it and said, as far as Sony Michel goes, that because the Patriots, you're going to play with three running backs. At the very least, Burkhead, Michel, and White are on this team. So it's a failure in the part of the front office because Sony Michel is not a three-down back. And did you really need to spend a first-round draft pick on a guy who's not an every-down player for you? And I agree that running back is a position that's better broken up. I liked what the Patriots had last year. But at pick 31 in the first round, don't I need an impact player who's going to play a majority of the time? And if Rex Burkhead and James White are there, they're taking up carries, they're taking up passing downs to get receptions, and I don't know how much Sony Michel is going to be used. So either you're gonna cut guys who you brought in and gave real dollars to. That's one failure. Two, you're going to play Sony Michel every down, and guys who you gave real dollars to in Burkhead and White are going to sit. Or you're going to play this rotation, and you're going to have spent a first-round pick on a guy who's not playing all the time. I just don't understand it. Again, Sony Michel is a good player. I think he could be an impact player for the Patriots. But in some way, there's failure there on the part of the front office. Either they misidentified talent, Jeremy Hill and Mike Gillisley, and they're going to get cut. Sony Michel's going to take over and be an every down player, and they gave guys extensions who didn't deserve it. Or they're all going to play, and there's going to be, I'm wondering why they spent a first round pick on a guy that isn't playing all that much. And Matt gets in on the Town for Tire text line. He says it's called competition, Brady. I get that too. But you gave an extension to James White. You gave him more than $10 million. Rex Burkhead got a 3-year deal. Competition exists when one guy is on the verge of being forced out and another guy is coming in trying to take his spot. These guys are here. They're established. You gave them real dollars already. So I just, again, it's not that Sony Michel's a bad player. It's just a curious pick to me. On the other side, the trade they made for Trent Brown today, all I'm going to say is this. This better work. And that sounds easy, and that sounds obvious, and that's how we view most trades. They better work. Trent Brown's an offensive lineman that they got from the 49ers. And again, by all accounts, 3 years he's played and started a good number of games in this league. They have a deficiency at the offensive line coming into the offseason. They get a guy who's 6'8" who can protect Tom Brady's blind side. That all sounds great. He's in the final year of his contract. They moved back 40 picks essentially to be able to get him. All I'll say is this. If it works out and they win the Super Bowl, then obviously we're going to say it was a great move. But here are the other possible scenarios. Trent Brown plays great, and the Patriots want to re-sign him, and now they are giving him massive money. And we know that Belichick doesn't like to give players that are free agents massive money. He doesn't prefer that. So he can force Belichick's hand and have him do something he's not comfortable with, or he can play great and leave, and the Patriots gave, you know, slid down 40 picks in the draft, and all they got was 1 year, and the guy left, and maybe they get a compensation pick, but it might not be as good as the pick that they were going to have. He could play terrible, flame out, and then the team's wondering, I moved back 40 picks to get this guy? So again, if it works out, it's great. I'm all for. You have Tom Brady. You want to move. We have Tom Brady. We want to protect him. We want to win with him in his final years. We want to do everything we can to extend his career. So I'm all for it. It just needs to work. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. We do have a lot of Cowboys fans in Vermont tired of Patriots and Giants talk. Be more diversified. That's one of the texters on the Town for a Tire text line. I'm a Seahawks fan. I'd love to sit and talk with you about what the Seahawks did at 27 yesterday. But the majority of our listeners are Patriots and Giants fans. That's just how it is. Okay? I know Eagles fans, Steelers fans, Cowboys fans, Packers fans, Raiders fans. They're all everywhere. But more often than not, the people we come across are Patriot fans or Giants fans. And are talking about the Patriots and Giants. That is going to continue to be our sweet spot. I'd love to talk about college basketball recruiting. I'd love to talk about minor league prospects. I'd love to talk about the Seahawks. But it's not about what I want to hear or what one specific person wants to hear. It's about what everybody wants to hear. And a lot of our listeners prefer Giants and Patriots. Champlain Valley Game Night again, 101.3 ESPN. And, well, sorry to make you mad, but we're going to talk more about the Giants right now. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line because the story for the Giants yesterday was drafting Saquon Barkley with the second pick in the draft, and they get him out of Penn State. And let's talk with Tyler Donahue, who covers Barkley, who covered Barkley at Penn State and covers the Nittany Lions for the Land of 10. Tyler, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Tyler, I'm going to say it flatly. I have been against the idea of picking Saquon Barkley from the beginning. I think he is undoubtedly a very good player, but I thought the Giants needed a quarterback. I could have justified them trading down to get more picks, but this is what we've got. Convince me and others who are doubting the pick, how good is Saquon Barkley?
Well, if you're going to take a running back at the top of the draft, this is the guy that you do take because, you know, without getting into the character stuff, because there's a lot of great, great guys who are going to get drafted, and Saquon Barkley is among them. But from a football standpoint, he's somebody who's going to bring a lot to the New York Giants. This is a team that, you know, they've been looking for a spark in that backfield for what feels like a very long time since their Super Bowl run, really. And with Saquon Barkley, you're going to get not only a capable runner, a guy who's going to be able to run away from defensive backs and run through the tackles at scrimmage. But he's a guy who I think can catch consistently 60 to 70 balls a year. I think he's somebody who's going to be a very dynamic weapon out of the backfield. We saw Christian McCaffrey make a major difference for the Carolina Panthers last year as a receiver. I certainly think that Saquon Barkley is more physically evolved as a rusher than Christian McCaffrey was, but I think he's very much on par with what he brings out of the backfield in terms of someone who can take some of the heat off an Odell Beckham Jr., certainly can be a safety net for Eli Manning. It's clear with this choice that New York is going to ride out with Eli Manning in at least another year or two. And I guess best case scenario is, maybe when John Elway found his Terrell Davis towards the twilight of his career, maybe the Giants can somehow duplicate that situation with an extremely talented playmaker to put alongside Eli Manning and see what they can do there.
How much does Barkley diversify the Giants' offense? I mean, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey. Are we going to see Barkley in the slot? Are we going to see him good in pass blocking? What does he do for this offense as a whole?
Yeah, well, he can do really, he's a guy who's not going to leave the field. There's not a deficiency to his game where you say, well, this is a scenario where we need to get him off the field and have somebody else in there. And yes, I do think you're going to see him move beyond the backfield during his career. He's a guy who is a very capable route runner. He's a matchup nightmare. We saw time and time again as Penn State used him in the passing game more and more as a sophomore and into his junior year. You got to remember, he spent a lot of time in 2017 actually leading all Big Ten players in receptions. And they weren't just dink and dunk. These weren't just three-yard catches and get tackled immediately and you're just bailing out your quarterback. These were situations where he was running down the seam he's a guy who is just a tremendous on the wheel route. I think that's something where you're going to see the Giants really see what he can do and send him off on long distance routes because, Saquon isn't going to be a guy who has five catches for 15 yards. He's going to be somebody who maybe has two catches in a game, but they might result in 60, 70 yards. He's that kind of, big play potential weapon. And I do think, he will diversify what the Giants do offensively.
Tyler Donahue covers Penn State for the Land of 10. He's here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Talk to me about Saquon Barkley, the person. Talk to me about the character. I haven't heard one bad thing about him, but Dave Gettleman, the new GM of the Giants, it feels like high-character guys are going to be a part of this turnaround in New York. Tell us about Barkley, the person.
I mean, to land in a media market like New York City, this guy is just he's somebody who you see stardom come towards a 19-year-old, and sometimes it changes then, and they leave college campus a much different and a much more entitled person than when they arrive. Saquon Barkley, if anything, has become more humble. I know that's hard to believe. He's going to have all the endorsements in the world that he can make the time for now, and especially going into the New York market. But he's somebody who's going to be the consummate professional. He's been living that life already at Penn State the past 3 years. He showed up as a freshman and really demanded accountability. He's been a big part of, the shift towards championship contention culture under James Franklin at Penn State. He's been a major catalyst for that. And, you talk to any of these players who have been at Penn State, whether it's, a guy who's a couple years older than Saquon or one of the freshmen who just came in last year, and they will tell you, you can't leave the weight room because Saquon's in there busting his butt, and this is a guy who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So if that guy is the one setting the tone, setting the pace, you're going to have to follow that lead. And I imagine if the Giants are, trying to work this thing up and build their new foundation with a new culture, which they obviously need to do after some struggles, Saquon Barkley is going to fit right in with what they want to do. And he is going to be a major asset for the coaching staff and for the front office because he will set that pace.
Tyler, I'll get you out of here on this. I think one of my issues, people have said for years, the running back is being devalued. I don't see it that way. I see the every down back being devalued and specialization of running backs. And we see the Patriots playing with 3-4 running backs and even the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl playing with 3-4 running backs. So that's why I feel like you don't need to invest in a guy who's going to be on the field all the time because that's not how teams win. If Barkley never leaves the field, are the Giants kind of – I just don't feel like they're keeping up with the times and how running backs are utilized.
I mean, we'll find out. I think, you know, I think we're starting to see with the running back position, the really, really good ones are getting, you know, 25 to 30 touches again. I'm with you. I think the key for a lot of good backfields is the split time. It worked really well in New Orleans last year. It's worked very well for the Giants when they've had good years. Remember back in the Thunder and Lightning days. Yeah. But, you know, I think Barkley is somebody because he can assume the role of multiple running backs himself. You know, he will be able to fulfill those duties. And you know, this is why he's special. This is why you take the chance on this guy. And there is a reason why there was such a steep gap between Barkley and every other running back in this draft. And I will tell you this before I go. I think Saquon Barkley will come to town with a lot of, you know, a lot of room for growth on his end because he wasn't utilized and pounded at Penn State with as a 30 carry guy. He didn't take on a lot of touches. So he's 20 years old and he doesn't have much tread on his tires. So I think that's important to know as well.
Well, Giant fans split, but the ones who are excited are extremely excited. Saquon Barkley coming to New York with the number 2 pick last night in the draft. Tyler Donahue covered him at Penn State, continues to cover the Nittany Lions for Land of 10. Tyler, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks for your time.
All right, there he goes, Tyler Donahue. We appreciate it. Time to get you those Red Sox lineup. Sox and Rays set to do battle at Fenway. A little rain on the field, but the tarp is off. Pitching matchup, a pair of lefties. Blake Snell, 3-1 with a 2.54 for the Rays. Drew Pomeranz, 0-0. Made just one start since coming off the DL. Didn't go so well in Oakland. Just went 3 2/3 innings. Lineups behind Snell, hitting first and playing third, is Matt Duffy. CJ Krohn's the DH. Carlos Gomez is in right. Wilson Ramos is the catcher. He's gotten hot of late. Daniel Robertson's at second. Brad Miller's at first. Adani Hedgevarria is at shortstop. Malik Smith, the speedster, is in center. And Rob Refsnyder, the former Yankee, is in left, hitting just 111 in limited action. For the Sox, Mookie Betts in right. Hanley Ramirez hitting second, DHing. J.D. Martinez is in left. Mitch Moreland's at first. Xander Bogaerts back off the DL. He's at shortstop. Eduardo Nunez at third. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. Christian Vasquez is the catcher. And Su-Wei Lin is at second. Brock Holt is on the DL now. That'll do it for us. A great week it was. Enjoy day 2 of the draft. Celtics and Bruins in action this weekend. Enjoy the Red Sox as well. And we'll be back on Monday, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.